Mic check. 1 2 1 2. Hey y'all, we're back again. Y'all, we are almost at episode 10. I'm just like, wow, time is flying. The weeks are flying by. I think that's what makes me feel how fast time flies is the fact that I'm releasing 2 episodes a week, and it's amazing. Shout out to my listeners. Atlanta has not left number one since week one, since episode one. Shout out to Atlanta. Orlando for the past week has been at number two. And France is at number three. Why are people listening from France? I don't know. But I love it for me. So shout out to France. I am so humbled and appreciative, and yeah, I had to acknowledge that. I feel like every week I'm definitely like trying to make sure people know what cities are in the top three, or at this point, what country. Get into it. So this week I wanted to talk a little bit about self-love and what self-love has looked like for me in my journey, because I think that in so many ways I have gone through different phases with myself, and self-love has actually more often than not taken a back seat based off of just my patterns in my life. At least before, I would say before 30, something drastically changed at 30, and it wasn't even necessarily one specific event or one. Well, actually, it probably was. Actually, it probably was, now that I think about it. But I noticed that in my childhood, there were ways that self-love would manifest for me. And I think that self-love for me early on became boundaries. Knowing how to say no and knowing how to advocate for myself. Now, a lot of people don't know or wouldn't expect that when I was young, as a little girl, I was very quiet and very reserved with the outside world. But in the house with my parents, my siblings, I was, a more comfortable version of myself. But for the most part, and I think I said it on a previous episode, a lot of people were like, oh my God, she talks. Oh my God, look at her. I was very reserved. I was very to myself. And in a way, it had to do with being very observant from even at an early age, but also it had to do with trauma. And because no one took the time to look at how I was or how I would express myself as potentially being a trauma response, I just normalized it as being the reality of who I am. I'm a quiet person. I don't say much unless I feel like I need to protect myself. And in self-love, I have still held on to that boundaries. I think that boundaries are one of the most practical forms of self-love and self-respect. And as I became a teenager, self-love for me became awareness of self, because a lot of stuff was being pushed on me. And I shared in previous episodes how my parents were pastors. I grew up an only girl, so I was in a house full of boys. And my mom, since I was my mom's only girl, there was a certain level of expectation that she had of me that she simply did not have for her sons. And it was a standard that she held me to that the boys were not held to. Because in a way, I think she was molding me and shaping me to be the best version of her, if that makes sense. It wasn't until older that I could see that my mom wanted me to be the version of her that she wished she was for herself. But in that, I wasn't able to be the best version of myself because there was pressure on me to be or to live up to a standard that was not necessarily tied to me, how I am, or my actual wants and desires for myself. And so in my teenage years, I started to become aware of my inner voice in a way that was very unique to me. And the voice of God or the universe or I am was something that my mom instilled in me to be familiar with from early. So, for example, we used to have an ice cream lady, an ice cream truck that would come by every day. And I could hear the ice cream lady come in from blocks. Like before she came, I could hear the music, like she about to cut the corner. And I remember being five, and my parents were very much like, you do not go outside without putting on socks and shoes or your shoes. You don't go out there barefoot. You don't go out there just in your socks. You put on shoes before you go outside. So I remember hearing the ice cream lady, and I'm searching high and low for my shoes and could not find them. So I was like, oh my God, like panic, panic, fear, fear. I need to catch the ice cream lady. And I remember asking my mom, like, have you seen my shoes? She was like, your shoes? Like, yes, I can't find my shoes. And I want to catch the ice cream lady. She was like, ask God. I'm like, for my shoes? Ask God. So I literally learned from early on to practice stillness and familiarize myself with the voice of the Creator. And even familiarize myself with my inner voice and the inner dialogue that happens within myself. And as a teenager, I started to amplify the inner dialogue. I started to pay attention to the things that I felt internally and the things that were pressing on me the most. And then I would respond accordingly. I would be like, all right, so I feel like I'm not supposed to be friends with these people, so I'm going to remove myself and create distance or space. And I would do so. Or I feel like I am supposed to do XYZ, so I'm going to do that. So it became self-awareness. As an adult, self-love for me has looked like encompassing boundaries, self-awareness, but also prioritizing self, prioritizing my wants and needs first and foremost. I used to always hear people say, you can't, oh, you can only love someone in the way that you love yourself first. And I think that's one of the things that adulthood has taught me more than anything. It's like I set the tone of the love that I receive. I set the tone of what goes when it comes to the relationships and the people in my life. If people experience me being very transparent with myself, being very honest with myself, having the tough conversations with myself, getting down to root issues with myself. If I'm doing that with myself and people witness that, they understand and they experience this is the standard of how she does relationship. Because our relationships start with self first. If you're looking for kindness from someone, offer it to yourself first. If you're looking at consideration from someone, offer it to yourself first. For so long, I was always an attachment to people in my life because my parents were pillars in the community. Me and my brother are close in age. It was always me, my name being attached to somebody else. When I was married, I was somebody's wife. It was just always an attachment to somebody else. And then I got to a point where I was just like, I'm living for myself. I prioritize myself. I want to make decisions with myself in mind. That is one of the things that led me to divorce, was actually prioritizing myself and my wants, my needs, my desires. As I've gotten older and as I've taken the time to choose myself, it has manifested in the friendships and even romantic relationships or romantic connections that I've had. Because I realize I attract everybody. Like a lot of times people be like, oh, you are what you attract. I think that if you're an attractive person, you attract all things, good, bad, and different. But what I engage in and the relationships that I give my energy, the relationships that I give my time, reflect the love that I extend to myself first. I cannot befriend someone, have someone in my circle that is not kind to themselves. If you're not kind to yourself, you're not going to be kind to me. I cannot date someone who is not patient with themselves and doesn't give themselves grace. Because if you don't extend patience and grace to yourself, how are you going to extend that to me? So, in my self-love journey, it has taken a lot of experiences and maneuvering through, like I said, boundaries and self-awareness. And I've finally arrived at prioritizing myself and being the standard of what love looks like and what I want love to look like towards me. I want to love myself so well that when people come towards me or when people are in my experience, in my space, or they experience my energy, they're drawn to the love that I have for myself. And it causes a conviction, not just for them to love me in that way or extend love to me in that way, but also to extend that kind of love to themselves. So I want to encourage you to remember to create boundaries out of respect for yourself and out of value for yourself. I also want to challenge you to prioritize knowing your voice and prioritizing your voice, being aware of your voice, being aware of your intuition and trusting it, understanding that your inner voice will not steer you wrong. Your intuition, what's in you, will not steer you wrong. Have faith in it, trust it, believe it. And if you have time today in your schedule, I want to challenge you to think of three practical ways this week that you can make time for loving yourself. Whether it be alone time with journaling, whether it's treating yourself to lunch, whether it's making time for a nap. Make time for some self-love this week. And in your time of prioritizing self-love, write down five things that you love about yourself, your favorite things about yourself. Five things. I'll lead by example. One, I love my personality. I enjoy my personality. I think I'm a fun person. Two, I love that I am someone that doesn't lack substance. I'm very self-aware, but I also like to read on stuff like things outside of myself, like nature or just things with life. I like to know a little bit of something about everything. Three, I love that I am someone that children gravitate towards because I feel like children are some of the most intuitive beings on the planet. Children and old people. And children love me. So do old people. And so I feel like that means I have great energy. Let's see, four. I love that I am a kind-hearted person. I may not always be nice, I'm not gonna lie. I may not be the nicest person who walks around, "Hey, give me a hug. Hey, let's talk. Hey, let's chat." But I know that I have a kind heart. Like, I know that my heart is genuine, that my intentions are pure, that my motives are pure. I don't go into things with ulterior motives and, like, with an agenda that isn't pure. And last but not least, I love my resilience and my experiences from as early as I can remember until this very moment. I've endured so much and I haven't let my life experiences harden me, and I haven't let them take over my character as a person. I'm still a kind person. I'm still a sensitive person. I'm still a loving person. I'm still open to love. I'm still open to giving people access to my heart. Not Eric. Jesus. I'm gonna say Eric and anybody. Whoa, Ebonics. But not every and anybody. But, you know, I'm mindful. But I'm in a position where I haven't let the things that have hurt me, like, have my view of people as a whole be contaminated and messed with. So those are my five things. I will say 6 months ago, it would take me a long time to be able to list off five things that I love about myself. So I'm proud of that because I make time for affirming myself. I'm a words of affirmation person. And if I'm going to affirm anybody, it's going to be myself first. And I love me. And I'm like, girl. And yeah, like, yeah. So, five things you love about yourself. Be well. Be kind to yourself. Be gentle with yourself. And I will see you. Not really see you. I hurt myself. Sorry, y'all. I gotta rant for a second. I hurt myself in some of my episodes say, "I will see you on the next episode." I will not see you. You will hear me on the next episode. Bye.